Hello and welcome to the Answers for Cancers podcast. I am your host, Anne-Marie Fay.
And I'm Michelle Matthews.
Together with some of Ireland's leading experts, we want to unravel what it truly means to have cancer.
From consultant diagnosis to treatment plans, from managing your symptoms to supports available, we have it covered. So whether you're a nurse working in oncology or have been personally affected by cancer, this podcast is for you.
We are proud to present 3 special bonus episodes over the next 3 weeks to talk about the amazing work done by Look Good Feel Better Ireland. We will be speaking with Annabelle O'Keefe, General Manager of Look Good Feel Better Ireland, Jennifer Rock, aka The Skin Nerd, and Mary Drummond, makeup artist and volunteer with Look Good Feel Better Ireland. Look Good Feel Better Ireland has put smiles on the faces of thousands of Irish women receiving cancer treatment. Their mission is simple. They want to help improve the well-being and confidence of people undergoing treatment for any type of cancer. They do this by providing free Look Good Feel Better workshops and advice to help manage the visible side effects caused by cancer and its treatment. Visit lookgoodfeelbetter.ie to see when the next workshop is taking place. And if you're listening and you want to support this amazing charity, you can do this by donating on their website, signing up to their ab sale in September that's taking place in Croke Park, or purchasing a beauty box worth €40 and getting amazing products worth €100 that have all been donated to Look Good Feel Better Ireland. Thanks for listening to the episode. Good morning, Mary. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much
for joining us. We're delighted that we get to do a special with Look Good Feel Better because we know how important it is for patients. So thank you so much for joining us as one of their representatives. I just wonder, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved with Look Good Feel Better?
Okay, well, my name is Mary Drummond and I'm delighted to be here. I originally trained as a beauty therapist. I was a beauty therapist for a long time, then went off, got married, had kids, and I think when my eldest was just starting secondary, I sort of had that sort of like, well, am I going to just shop and drink coffee for the rest of my life? What am I going to do? So I was away with my girlfriends. I said, you know what, I'm going to go back and just do makeup, just solely do makeup. I always enjoyed the makeup part of beauty therapy. So I did that September. I went and I picked who I thought were a good standard and a high standard of makeup. And I did like a week with Makeup Forever just to upskill again. Makeup Forever and Brown Sugar and the lovely Zoe Clark and Lisa O'Connor, Lord rest her. So lovely studying with those people, watching them, all of that. And so it was great. And when I was doing a week with Zoe Clark, she said to me, you know what, girls, because I had been out of the industry for so long, you know, there's a lovely charity called Look Good Feel Better, and it gives you an opportunity to meet other people who work in the same industry, but also to use your makeup on people who are undergoing cancer treatment. And I don't know if anybody else from the group did anything, but I immediately contacted them, and a lovely lady called Emily Dunn, who was manager of Look Good Feel Better at the time, met me in Rathfarnham and just wanted to meet me and see what I was all about. And yeah, I just started doing workshops with Look Good Feel Better, and it's been fantastic, really, really good. So that was about 8 years ago, I think.
Yeah, that's amazing, Mary. And like you said, you've been doing it for the last 8 years, and mm-hmm. we've only ever heard like amazing results, and we see the products, and I suppose we've heard a little bit about the workshops that go on with Look Good Feel Better. But
yeah,
I suppose in your opinion and your experience of doing it, why do you think that Look Good Feel Better is important for people that are undergoing treatment?
Okay, well, I mean, obviously, we actually look after both men and women, but obviously it's mainly women. And the hospitals take place maybe once a month. And we're in 16 hospitals. Well, up until COVID, we were in 16 hospitals and various cancer care centres around Ireland. And that's a lot of volunteers. And it's a lot of coordination with the hospitals and with the cancer care nurses. And it's run really, really well. So when a woman is asked to attend a workshop, she's invited to attend. It's a treat. Mm-hmm. You know, it's nice that the nurse can say, I think you're ready for this, you know, at her stage in her journey. And really, when you've lost all your defining feminine features, which is what happens when you're undergoing treatment, you can kind of become a little bit lost, and confidence is gone, and there can be a lot of depression attached to cancer care. And the ladies can sometimes be nervous coming into the room. There's maybe up to 12 women in the room, and they sit down and they're given a lovely bag of cosmetics, and they're all donated by the cosmetic industry in Ireland. And usually there'll be one or two volunteers in the room who are either skincare therapists, makeup artists, maybe a retired nurse, you know. And we just want to have a nice afternoon with these ladies. So it's important, because it gives somebody an outlet to talk about small concerns that they may feel are too trivial to discuss with their medical team, who are just concentrating on getting them better. And their nurses are very busy, and their family just want them to be well and happy, you know. But there are things that they'd like to ask questions about, you know. Why is my skin changing? What happens when my hair starts to regrow? Will it be straight? Will it be curly? When can I dye it? Can I wear false lashes? I have a big event coming up. I have rosacea. I have itchy rash all over my body. All of these things. And I suppose the cosmetics are sort of like a channel in which to communicate, because if you get any 10 or 12 women in a room and you give them a bag of skincare and makeup, everything from their cleanser to their lipstick is in the bag. And we say, right, let's do our makeup. And as you're going through, I would obviously, pre-COVID, I would have somebody as a model in the rooms, one of the patients as a model. And I would always start with skincare and how their skin has changed. And again, with any group of women, talking about skincare could go on for hours. You know, there's so much to talk about. So we just target different effects of the treatment on your skin, the dryness, you know, the sensitivity, and, you know, warn them about the hypersensitivity with UV and how they can help their skin and soothe it. And so, you know, there's all of those different questions that come up. And just to try and maybe point out things like staying away from actives like retinol and vitamin C. Just it's temporary. It's going to get you through. Keep it all calm. Keep it simple. Keep it nice on your skin. And you'll have questions about the scalp as well and the whole body. It's not just about the face. And we'd move on then and to the makeup and, you know, general questions about makeup as well. They can ask anything they want. And obviously everybody has their own journey, and little tips and advice from other ladies to say, that happened to me and this is what I did, you know, or I didn't like that cream or whatever.
It's a good community kind of aspect to it all.
Yeah, it's lovely. And eyebrows, if they've lost their eyebrows and their eyelashes, how to get through those few months with help with cosmetic. I mean, makeup is fantastic, but it's obviously one of the taglines is it's more than makeup.
Yes.
And it can do so much. And how you can give the impression of eyebrows and how you can help yourself look, you know, define your eyes with the lashes. And sometimes it's only for an event. The rest of the time they're quite happy, you know, they're accepting that they're not well and they want to get better, you know. But other times they have something coming up, like a child's communion or a confirmation, or just when they go and collect the kids from school, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just every day feeling better about themselves. So yeah, talking to them through all of that, how to use brow pencils. And there's so many products on the market. Yeah. It can be so confusing for people, you know. Just want to keep it simple. And really, other questions that come up would be mouth sores, dryness, nails, all of that. And it's by the end of the workshop, you know, they're all very, very relaxed and smiling, and they give you a hug as they're leaving, and, you know, maybe contact you a day or two later to say, look, it's fantastic. And we also get families sending messages to look good, feel better, saying, like, that's the first time that we've seen her smile in so long, you know. Or the lady herself will say, I just felt myself again, like my old self again, you know.
So
it's funny because you say that, like, people think it's trivial to ask these questions in a hospital setting, but it's so important to people.
And exactly.
They get a little bit of their identity back. It can make such a difference for the rest of their treatment.
Yes,
so they're able to look a bit more like themselves.
It's yeah, exactly. And not everybody needs it.
Yeah.
A lot of people do need it, and sometimes it's just not the right time for them. So that's also looked after as well. You know, you want to get on top of your treatment first and get into the rhythm of that first, obviously, and stabilize yourself, you know. So, yeah, there's a time for everybody for it. And, you know, people have good fun, and, you know, I get an awful lot from it as well. And obviously I learn from the women as well, like, you know, because they have done something that's like really interesting or whatever, you know. So you're learning the whole time.
Great to give people a safe space to have these conversations and ask questions, because we ran a focus group recently with HSE, and as you said, one of the things that, you know, people said they don't tell their healthcare professionals are all of those questions, because they're looking around and they can see people are really busy and they don't want to burden them and ask them these questions. And it's awful to think that people are suffering in silence, because it's your identity, it's a huge part of who you are, and it's awful to think that they can't ask us, or they feel they can't ask us maybe. So it's lovely to know that they have a safe space that they can go and have these conversations, and it's great that they feel better in that.
It's a great charity. It's a very small charity, but it has an immediate effect, you know, and everything that goes to the charity goes straight to the patients. You know, there's only two people that are employed by the, and they're the people who coordinate the workshops, you know. So
we got, it was so good, they sent us a bag so that we could see what people get. Oh my God, it's incredible. The variety of stuff that's donated is just, it's amazing. We opened it up, we couldn't believe it. So kind.
Yeah. And also, there's people who may have finished their treatment a year ago, but they're sort of stuck in a rut and still feeling maybe a little bit like a patient.
Yes.
And they don't know where to begin. And to give them that bag of cosmetics is like a reset button for them, you know? And talking to other women about how they have changed their hair treatment since they've been treated, or how they have changed, you know, the way they look at anything that women do to themselves, you know, and they just find it so helpful, and they just sort of like, okay, right, I'm out of this now. I can go out there and face the world a bit better, like, you know. So
you're predominantly skincare and makeup, is that right?
Predominantly, well, that's what it is about, really. I mean, obviously, we learn from lovely people like Anne Roach and Roaches, who I know you've had her on, and obviously then I would have gone and studied the oncology aesthetics as well, which when you are in a workshop and you're asked a question and you don't know the answer, you just want to know and you want to learn more all the time. So I did that with OTI Ireland, which is oncology therapy, and a lady called Louise O'Loughlin runs that. And basically her vision was, her mum passed from cancer a few years ago, and she's a beauty therapist, and she remembers her mum talking to her about how something felt, or what she was able to get done or what she wasn't able to get done. And she was always trying to work out ways to treat her mum in the same way, but not make her feel that she couldn't have a treatment, you know? So her vision really, and the vision of OTI, is to have somebody in nearly every salon and every spa and every hairdresser that understands the effect that chemotherapy and radiation are having on the body, and how you can look after that person without, when you go to a spa and you're given an information form to fill out, you're not afraid to lie, and the therapist isn't afraid to say, yes, of course, come in, and they're not just going to say no. So, and I do talk a little bit about this in the workshop. Just a lot of women don't know about when nodes are removed, to be very careful about massaging that area, you know, that we would be told to just avoid that whole quadrant, or if there's a PICC line there, and just how to make a person feel like they're having a treat without compromising them. And it's a very important thing if you work in the industry.
and so that everybody who walks through your door or contacts you can feel really good if they have a treatment from you without you doing anything to compromise their healing and their recovery, you know. So that's,
and for people who might be a little bit nervous to attend a workshop or thinking about it and they're not sure if it's the right time, do you have any advice for anybody who's thinking, I think I might register for it but I'm not sure?
Okay, well, yeah, I mean, we understand that people are nervous about it. They don't know what it's about. They think, maybe, why would I want to go to a makeup class when I'm fighting for my life here? You know what I mean? And is even the name Look Good, Feel Better, but it's so much more than that. And again, if you feel that you want help, you can have if you don't feel that you're ready for a workshop or are able for a workshop, you can have a one-to-one if you're maybe not feeling well enough to go to a workshop. And in the workshop, you don't have to do anything. You can just sit and listen and watch. You know, you don't have to unpack everything and do your face or clean your face or whatever. You can just sit and watch. And we're not going to ask you any questions or anything. You know, it's basically just, this is information. And if you'd like to have some of this information, it's there. And you can ask a question if you want to or not. So we will let you know if there's one in your area. And we like to get to everybody in the country if we can. And it's actually important for families to know, because a lot of families don't know how to help somebody, you know. And a lot of stuff is hidden under clothes. And, you know, just, how are you? Are you feeling okay? Yeah, right, great. But listen, I've got this rash and it's really hurting and it's really itchy and it's really sore and my face is on fire and I'm bald and I feel horrible and I want to feel better about myself and I don't want to be afraid to leave the house and all of that. So there's so many different, everybody has their own journey and every journey is different. Along with the OTI, the scalp people are fantastic. Aileen Moore teaches people how to make individual pieces for the hair. And also we'll do home visits. Well, I've done home visits for people in palliative care and it has done wonders for them and for their family with regard to how they feel and how they feel towards their mom and how she feels. And, you know, it's just fantastic, you know.
You said there about the one-to-ones, you know, you've gone to people's homes. Like, how would somebody get access to a service like that? Do they go through a website?
Yeah, well, personally, I've either had a request from Look Good, Feel Better or through people who know me. And it's just to have that physical touch. It's almost spiritual, you know. And I would generally try to give person a facial and just, they don't have to do anything, just lie there and I will look after their hands, I'll look after their feet, I'll, you know, it's just very gentle, but just sort of feeling like as if you want to go for a massage, you just want that touch, nothing medical. Just nice, and just give them that little, it actually gives them a lot of energy. That's the feedback I've got. Because it's a different kind of physical touch that they're getting, you know, and they're quite frail. So it's a very gentle process and it's actually quite lovely because the rest of the family are just pottering around, doing their own thing. And you're just in a quiet corner doing that and also taking care of them while they're getting on with their own things, taking care of a family member. And it's really lovely. And I've had beautiful messages back from families. And just, you know, you obviously with illness, you get to a stage where you want somebody to do things for you that you can't do for yourself anymore. And you don't necessarily want a family member to do that for you, you know. So yeah, it's a lovely thing to be able to do for somebody, you know. And it just brings together all the skills as a beauty therapist, as the OTI, with the OTI therapy, with the makeup, and just, it's just a lovely treat for people, I think, you know. Yeah.
And it's really, I love that you touched on people receiving palliative care.
Yeah.
I think yeah, it's just really important to include everyone. And you've actually touched on, I think, every community. Maybe you haven't even noticed, but like you've mentioned men, you've mentioned women, patient care, primary care. So it's just incredible what you all offer.
Yeah. Yeah, because men have a whole, they have a lot to say as well when you ask them, you know.
Yeah, that can definitely be overlooked.
Yeah,
as I mentioned that as well. Yeah, with her, you know, it's a community that we do overlook. And when you think of people like losing a sense of self and their appearance, we don't automatically classify them into that. And yeah, and they should be, because it's huge.
Yeah, but I mean, as well, you know, when you say the defining feminine features for men, it is the same thing. Like I've talked to men, and libido goes.
Yeah.
Body hair goes, just
said that's their identity.
You know, and depression can really set in because, like, we're used to caring for people as a society. You care for your family, you look after your family, and when you're not able to do that, you know, you just feel different, and you don't feel like, well, what's my purpose? You know, I don't want to be the patient, and you know, and even with men, their body shape can change, and just, you know, there's a sort of male version of Spanx as well, you know, that they can wear under shirts to help them, you know, to just when they're getting dressed, and what sort of clothes are better to make them feel more comfortable, and what way to shave, different ways to shave, and all of, you know, it's very, very important. And even for a man to get a nice facial is lovely. And to have some, just like even when you're doing a facial, just to do some very gentle lymphatic drainage on them as well. Like, it's nice to be able to know how to do that for a person, you know.
And in terms of like brands, skincare, makeup brands, is there any ones that stand out to you that are good in the sense of being like fragrance free and all that kind of stuff?
Well, that's a question that comes up a lot. I mean, obviously the charity is brand neutral, and it's non-medical. And people have asked me, well, how do you know that, are there products in the bag for specific to people undergoing cancer treatment? They're not. And I would always say that at the start, these are a gift. If they don't suit you, if it doesn't feel right, don't use it. Like with any product you open, and try and integrate it into what you have at home, or you can, you know, it's a treat for you. It may not suit you. Like if you don't like using perfumes or whatever, give it as a gift to somebody, whatever. So we would basically narrow it down to, with regard to say skincare, you want it with minimal ingredients in it while you're undergoing treatment. Like say, for example, a product like Aveeno, when people have irritated skin and chemo rash, there's oatmeal in that, so that calms the skin down. Like coconut oil has a natural antibacterial format in it. Use mineral sunscreen, so we're sticking to the ingredient information as opposed to the brand. But having said that, most of the brands that are good for people in that situation are the ones that you would see on a pharmacy shelf, you know, because they're coming from the hospital system, almost, you know, like Elav and Ovelle and all of those things for people with extreme skin conditions. So any brand that does treatment for extreme skin conditions is going to be usually okay for somebody who's very hypersensitive or rosacea or whatever. You know, that's going to help you. So it's just to stay away from, don't listen to the marketing, whatever. Just go for the simple stuff, and protection of the skin is. You know, because all of a sudden a person can have rosacea that they never had before in their life. They don't know what to do, you know. So we just keep it very simple in that respect, you know.
Good to know those brands tend to be slightly more affordable as well. And some really
exactly.
It's awesome, because we know it's a huge financial burden.
Yeah.
Good to know it doesn't have to be extremely expensive stuff.
No, like, you know, even like the mineral spa water, which has actually got it's hydrating and anti-irritating on the skin. That's not the right word, but it's not coming to me at the moment. So if a lot of people experience hot flushes, say a week after chemo,
and to have one of those in your bag, and it's not going to do any damage to your skin. It's quite healing actually in that, because it's from the spa towns of Roche-Posay and Vichy in France. And you spray that on, it's instant coolness. Also, if you're hypersensitive, spray that onto a bit of cotton and use that on your face as a cleanser. You can spray it on babies, whatever. Like, you know, it's just something really simple like that that can help you so much. Just, you can get handbag sizes. They're the sort of little tips that we give people, you know. And then somebody else might say, well, actually, I found this brilliant. Because actually, there was an instance where, we were given some, they were sent in to us for dry mouth and sore mouth. And a lot of women said, oh, I didn't like that. That didn't do anything for me. But I'll tell you what did work. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, so that's really helpful as well for people, you know, so.
And it's so important. That's one thing that we've noticed is people learn from each other.
Yeah.
You know, like we can have all of the information in the world, if we're not actually physically going through it and have tried and tested ourselves, we don't know as well.
Yeah.
And I suppose then finally, because thank you so much, this has been absolutely brilliant. If there's anybody listening who would like to give back and to look good, feel better, what's the best ways that they could do that?
Okay, well, it can be quite fun actually giving back. You know, I've often hosted makeup evenings in houses for people, maybe like actually a group of nurses or stuff like that, you know. We make goodie bags for them, we do a demo, we just talk about makeup and it's a bit of fun. You can do that as a fundraiser. You can do any little sort of fundraiser, it's fine. We always come on board and help if you want help with your fundraiser or anything like that. If you want to volunteer, you don't have to know everything. You can come to a workshop and observe, first of all. You go through a training and we just love to have people that are there to help. They may not lead a workshop, but they can be there to help. An awful lot of people may maybe have trouble opening packaging at a workshop, or they might get hot and need water or whatever. And it's great to have somebody else in the room that's just good like that with people, you know. An extra pair of hands, somebody who's just interested in skincare or just helping, or holistic, you know, anything like that. We love to hear from them. If there's any beauty therapists that want to give up an hour or two a month, that's all it is. Pharmacy owners who staff in the area, you know, might like to do the workshops, because for them, the patients will come back into them anyway, you know. They're coming into them anyway, you know, and it's nice that they have that connection with the community. Retired nurses, anybody really. I mean, we'd love to hear from you, and it's a lovely thing to do. It's only a short period of time and you get so much from it. It's fantastic, you know.
Thank you so much.
Not at all. Pleasure.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Answers for Cancers podcast. Please share this podcast with anybody who you think it might help. Also, if you can like and subscribe, it lets people know we're here. You can alternatively contact us on Instagram at @theanswersforcancers_podcast. And if you have any questions on anything that we discussed today, please email us at theanswersforcancerspodcast@gmail.com, or you can DM us on Instagram.